Okay, so our fifth perek. So we got up to perek Tanur, as opposed to later on, we're going to have a perek HaTanur. So usually we use the full Hat or Tanur here, Tanur Techilato. So over here, very simply, we're going to be discussing the Shiurim of a Tanur, of a Kira, of a Kupach, and we're going to be talking about their special dinim, which means additions to them, what it takes to become a kosher tanur, what is called a hesek, how to cut up a tanur, and what would be if you use metal. So basically, the next of these, of the Baba Kama here, is specifically five whole prokim that are going to be focused on dafka tanurim and types of tanurim, which would include also, of course, kira and kupach. And of, as we've mentioned many times, what is so special about these dinim is the fact that here, as opposed to anywhere else, the Torah tells us not only that a kli, even when it's b'chubar l'karka, is considered to be tame, which is very unusual, but only when it's b'chubar l'karka, in many of these cases, is it considered to be tame. So because of that, we have these in this. Because of that, we have this entire section of the Masechet dedicated to this. So we spoke about the shiur that it needs to begin with four tvachim. You've got to have at least four tvachim in height for it to be continued even after it was worn, it broke, even the shiraim. And the chachamim disagree about that, and they hold, you're not taking into consideration a Fisher-Price tanur. And Fisher-Price tanurim, and even other companies that make tanurim for kids, also, a child's play tanur, which actually can really cook a little cupcake. And this is what the kid does while mommy is baking this cake. Things haven't changed much. And that would be, that's any shear at all. And if it's a child's, if it still does something, even if it won't bake a cupcake, if it's the shirayim, even a cookie would be enough. Now, at which point do we consider a tanur to be complete? Because remember, a tanur is different than other kli cheres in that it needs to operate at high temperatures. And therefore, the gemar malacha of a tanur is only when it is heated to such a high temperature that that temperature itself would allow sufganim to be actually baked in that tanur. And the according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is true once a new oven would be heated to the temperature which in an old oven would be enough to bake sufganim. He doesn't hold that the new one needs to itself be able to bake sufganim. It's always easier to use the old oven. Now remember that a kira is basically similar to a tanur, except that it's used on its surface and not on its inside, and it's got two holes in it for burners, and you put the fire in underneath, and it's a double burner. The size of that is a minimum of shalosh etzbos, as opposed to arba tvachim, major, major difference in size, and it, if it's less than that, even if it broke from what was originally more, the shiraim, it still requires that shir gemar melacha. Does not have to be at the same temperature as a tanur. It can be even at the temperature that will cook an egg kala sheba beitzim. And as we know from the Masechet Shabbat, the shear of beitza kala is a chicken egg. And it's only if it's true fav and netunah be'ofes, even if it's just very easy. That's all from Shabbos. Now, how about a kupach that has only one opening for cooking on top? And the difference is that a kupach, because of the fact that it will contain its heat, also is used at times for baking. So kupach, it depends. If it was a baking kupach, it's got a din of a tanur. In all terms, shir, gemar. If it's a cooking, it's the same as a kira. In all terms, the size and the gemar. Now, how about additions? Little shelves that sticks out. So then if you've got a little bit of a shelf up to a tefach from a tanur, it's part of the tanur. If it's shalosh, it's bows from a kira, it's considered to be part of the kira. If it's from a kupach, again, it depends. If it's a baking kupach, like a tanur, if it's a cooking kupach, a kupach, it's like a kira, and so on. Says Reb Yehuda, you got it all wrong. A tefach is only where you've got a shelf or a handle that's sticking out. between the oven and the wall that you're trying to put the oven next to, and therefore you don't want to have it far away from the wall. So anything that's more than a tefach is going to be cut down. But if it's not between the oven and the wall, whether we're talking about behind the wall behind it, or the wall on the left or the right, wherever it's going to be put on, there, however long you made the shelf, it's fine. In a case where you've got two ovens next to each other, then you can combine the tefach and get two tefachim between them. Fine. Okay. Now, there are also parts that are added so that you make a like a rim around a kira. That does not become part of the kira. If you make what's called a tira for a tanur, which is like an entire area, it's like a courtyard or a beautiful building, a tira, if it's for tefachim itself, then it is actually metame b'maga and b'avir, like the tanur itself, because this gets very hot and you give it the din of a tanur, but less than that, not. Okay, now, how about if you connected the two pieces? You were talking about you just put it on. How about if you connected it? So then even if it's not very well connected, it's just connected in like three places with a stone here and there, then it's tame as part of the tanur. How about things that you stick on, like a spice holder, an oil holder, a lamp holder, any of those things that are attached to the side of a kira will become tame, but they are not metame be'avir because the avir of the kira, whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, they are completely tahor, even b'maga, they're not considered to be the same piece. The reason that they're not metame ba'avir is because this is one of the cases where it was only midrabbanan. And remember, the klal is the rabbanan make a difference in order that you shouldn't come to burn trum of a kachim, and they do not make a consistency in these gezeiras of tuma because of that problem. Now, suppose you fire up an oven in the wrong way. Remember that the oven is meant to be heated from inside. You heated it from the outside, or perhaps it was heated without your knowledge. A good example of that is if a fire, the house burns down, and now it was heated from the outside. You didn't want it that way, but what can you do? So the only thing that's left of your house is the classic picture of the tanur and the chimney, and everything else is burnt to a crisp. Is that considered to be finished properly? Or suppose it was done before it came into your house. It was done in the manufacturing center, which is not the way things are normally done. You're supposed to first attach the tanur to the ground in its place. This requires, it comes with a little notice on it that by law, you are required to have a professional install this tanur. In this case, the guy receives it from the Beit HaOman and he just connects it. Is that considered to be properly heated? Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, there was even a story once in Kfar Signa where there was this terrible fire, burnt down the entire factory of the tanur manufacturers over there. And because of that, they came to Yavne, to Barnea, to ask what the din would be. And he allowed Rebbe Gamliel to pask, and Rebbe Gamliel was mitame in that case. Okay, that became Bosch ovens eventually, and still with us till today. Now, any additions that you make on the top of a tanner, like the things we talked about before, like these rims. So now it depends. If it's a household oven and not a professional oven, that's tahor, because that is not usually used. If it's a baker oven, then it is used, either because, according to the Tanna Kamma, because they will use a spit in the tanner in order to bake meat, and therefore they leave the spit on top. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that is not the reason why it's a tanner, for God's sake. That's not what a tanner is for. The reason, says Rabbi Yochanan HaSandar, is because if you get an enormous order for bread, all of a sudden you don't have enough oven space. What you will do is, if you're a professional baker, you will use that upper part to get the baking process started or completed, and you'll flip and you'll use it for actual baking. That's why it's part of the tanur. Now, the same thing is true. We find that other professionals do this kind of thing. Let's say people who boil olives, you know, so they make an additional little place on top of the big pot in order to be able to use the pot in that way to get more than they normally would. Therefore, it's considered to be tame. But if it would be, let's say, a dyer, A dyer will never use it. It's going to kill the color. It's not going to be the correct temperature. And the only reason that they make these rims is to make sure that things don't spill over if they put in too many clothes or whatever. That's not considered to be part of the actual work at all. And now the question is, what is the din if you close up some of the airspace by putting in dirt? So let's say you put it up to midway up there. So then the din is like that. That if it's beneath that, it could still be Mekabel Tuma B'maga, but it doesn't have airspace. That part is not considered to be airspace. And if the top got Tame from the airspace, again, this is a Darabbanan, because the truth is it's Batal. So the Rabbanan made this crazy din that the Kli is Shayach to be Tame B'maga, but the bottom half can't become Tame if the top half becomes Tame only Me'avira. Fine. If it's me, Ofer Vilamalan, but the upper part, even Bavir, will become Tame. Now, here was the case that we just had in Masechet Shabbat. You made the Tanur, okay, you ordered it properly, it was not heated up yet, and you put it down over a pit of some kind, or over a cistern that's got a wall sticking up. And in order to support it above the hole, you put in like a couple of stones, little pebbles to prevent it from dropping down into the hole so that it should be close enough that you don't lose a lot of heat on the area where you touched it. There we had, as I'm sure you remember, we just had this in Masechet Shabbos, that Rabbi Yehuda says, look, it's only going to be a tanur if the fire's at the bottom of the hole and the tanur still heats up to the point that it needs to heat, then it's called a tanur. But if the only way that you can heat it is you're going to have to build up the bottom with stones or whatever to heat it, that's not considered to be a tanur. And remember, the Chachomim say, I don't give a hang how it got usak, it's still a tanur, and the Gemara and Shabbos came out, even if it's hanging off of your camel's neck. And now, how are you metaher a tanur? Well, here we get into the famous case, of course, of the Tanur Shalachanai. So the great way of being metire it is you cut it into three parts from the top to the bottom. Okay, this is useless. So you don't have any place that has got a rove. And you also, if you do this, however, you have to scrape off the insulation because that holds it together and it's still completely functional, even if in the inside you use the saw to cut through it. And you've got to get all the way down, top to bottom, not leave 2 inches on the bottom where it's connected, because those 2 inches will still hold it all together, even if you did take off the tefillah. Rabbi Meir says, neither of those things are true. You don't have to scrape off the insulation. You don't have to get it all to the bottom. The bottom line is, if you cut it to the point where you don't have 4 tvachim, then it's already broken, and holding something together by some other junk is not considered to be a kli shalem. Rabbi Shimon says, forget about the question of whether you have to take off the trailer, get it down to the ground. Even if you did that, it would still be tummy. You would actually have to separate the pieces, move them apart to allow heat to escape. Then and only then would it be tar. If you split it into two parts, one of which is big, one of which is small, so then obviously one part still has rove, and that would be tummy still. And if you cut it into three parts, in which one of those parts was as big as two of the other parts, be the same problem. Because again, you can't be mitzamtzim over here. And since the large pieces be a little bit more than the two small pieces, the small pieces, of course, are tar, but the big pieces would be tameh. Now, how about the famous case of Tanur Shalachnai? You cut the tanur in horizontally. So you made rings out of it, essentially. Each ring was less than 4 tvachim. So they don't function as a tanur on their own. And then you take tit and you rebuild it, put them one on top of the other, and you rebuild it from the outside. And at that point, if you reheat it, you know, and now again it's to the level of heat that you make suvganim in, so you got a new oven. Okay, so now it's going to be Mekabel Tuma again, like any new oven. How about if you take off the insulation and you put these rings together again with something that's supposed to hold in the heat? Let's say you put sand between them, or you put a little bit of a cement between them. Now, there we had the psak of the Rabbanan, and they said, you can have a nida and an isha tahora baking at the same time. The Nida puts her hands into the airspace of the oven, which would be matame all of it. It doesn't matter because this oven is broken. You can't put it together again. And if it arrives from IKEA in sections, so that it's basically an oven you're supposed to put together itself yourself, and then you attach it with these little rings that you screw together, classic IKEA oven. And the din is over there if they made these little rings around it, which holds it together, and the buyer goes ahead, he puts them over those sections, and it was tahar. At this point, you can now make it into a real tanur, and it will become tameh, because that is considered to be functional. The moment you remove the metal pieces that hold it together, it now is considered to be broken. And now if you put them back on again, it's not going to become tameh ever again. Why? Once you take it off and you bought it from IKEA, you can never screw it back together again, as everybody knows in anything that they brought from IKEA. So the idea is never unscrew it. And certainly if it's a tanur, once it's been heated, it's completely out of whack. And as soon as you unscrew it, you'll never get the holes to align again, and you just could throw it out. Anyway, but how about if instead of taking your original IKEA pieces, you now put it back together again by using the old-fashioned way? You cover it with clay. So over there, it would be makabel tuma. You don't have to reheat it because it was already heated from before when you got it from IKEA. So everything is fine. Now, how about if you use sand between each one of the rings? Uh-oh, here we come to Rebbe Eliezer Shamuti, who, according to the Bavli, right? So Rebbe Eliezer says, well, it's tahar. The Chachamim say, no, it's tameh. According to Rebbe Eliezer, the sand that's between the pieces is dafka considered to be something that separates the pieces, and because of that, it remains broken. Now, this was a disaster, and this became the famous Tanur Shel Achnai, because they worked on this for months, and everybody was fighting, and they finally came to this awful situation in which Rebbe Eliezer would not give in, whether there were baskols coming down from the Shamayim, or whether the walls of the Beis HaMedrash were going to collapse. Nothing made any difference anyway. They finally gave up and put him into Nidui. Now, how about Arab types of samovars, right? Which they also, what they do over here, they use them as ovens, and they dig a hole in the ground, and they put the whole thing in, and then they cover it with clay and so on. So the din is like this. Over there, they don't start with a kli. They basically first dig a hole, and then they build up the walls with insulation, clay, or teat. And then the din is like this. If that could stand on its own, so then fine. Then it's considered to be an oven. If it won't stand on its own, it's not an oven either. Sorry it's taking so long, but this is the introductory parak to all of the dinim of Tanur, Kupach, and so on. And because of that, I just want to make sure we get the basic halachas right. If you make a stone or metal tanur, that is considered to be tahor completely because it's a mechubar to the ground. I mean, it could still become tameh like a metal tameh can become tameh. You know, I mean, as long as it doesn't lose its shame kli by being mechubar, and it's certainly not going to become tameh ba'aviro. It doesn't get a magic din of a tanur, but it could be a kli matechet like any other kli matechet. Now, in a case where you used metal or something, how about if there was a hole in the metal tanur, okay? And then you fix the hole by putting on the type of insulation that is made out of clay, which you do for the tanur of the earthenware tanur. So then the oven would have the din of a tanur shel cheres, because it's only functional because of the cheres, and because of that, it would need the same shear of heating, and it would become tamei me'aviro, and so on. What would be the shear of a hole that was big enough to change the metal thing into an earthenware thing? It would have to be big enough that when you turn on the tanur, there's actual flame that's coming out from that hole. So it means not only heat is escaping, but it's such a large hole that every once in a while there's a bit of flame that shoots out from it. That shows that this tanur is not going to work. It's basically losing so much of its heat that you're going to need the clay on the outside, and therefore it becomes clay. This is true about a kira, except that there's a slight difference, and that is if you made the kira out of metal, then it won't become tameh at all. as a kira. It'll become tamei like a metal kli if it is a metal kli. And over there, if you got a piece of the kira that broke off or it got a crack, and then you made like little earthenware things to hold up the kira, that's enough to be considered an earthenware kli. It doesn't have to escape. The heat doesn't have to escape. It needs to be able to sit only because of it. If you used insulation over a metal tanur or kira that was not broken, and you did it only to get better insulation, it does not become an earthenware kli just because of the insulation, because it doesn't make such a difference. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, now it depends. If you put the clay on the inside of a kira, then it does become tame. From the outside, it doesn't, but it's definitely useful on the inside. Okay, that is basically all of the main dinim of the shiurim. And then we get some specific dinim, which we'll get into in the following prakim. And this gives us our big, big, long fifth parak. I hope to be able to zoom along a little bit better when we get back. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for your patience and for allowing me the luxury of having this wonderful chazorah together with you. And thanks for showing up.